I'm glad that he was willing to step forward, and I'm glad that I met her. So my name is Donna Clifford. I'm from the Zonta Club of Medford, Massachusetts. I am the Zonta Foundation for Women ambassador for the 2020 to 2022 by 2022 to 2024 biennium, but I was also the ambassador for the previous biennium. And I'm the lead foundation ambassador. They changed things a little bit this year, so we have more than just one person. Dr. Marianne Rubis, who was just up here, and she's a past governor and past foundation ambassador. This biennium, she is the endowment fund specialist. And I'll be talking a little bit about the endowment fund. And then if you have questions, further questions about the endowment fund, we'll see Marianne about that. Okay. Am I in the right
place? No, you're perfect.
Yep.
Okay. So, the Zonta Foundation for Women, this shows where our funding comes from. So it comes mostly from our clubs and our members, with some from friends of Zonta. 100% of the donations go to the work of the foundation. None of it goes for administrative expenses. Clubs generally are requested to give a third of the proceeds from their fundraising to the foundation. And I just want to remind you that dues are not considered donations to the foundation. The next slide shows you how the projects are selected. So the UN and other NGOs bring projects to the president of the Zonta International President-elect. So in 2020, in the previous biennium, current President Uta Schultz was the president-elect. So the projects that are being funded now and being worked on by the foundation and its partners were brought to the foundation board and finance committee by President Schultz. And then once those projects have been approved by the foundation board and the international board, then they go to convention. So any of you that were at convention in 2022 as delegates were able to vote on those projects. There are seven gift funds. There are seven gift funds that are part of the Zonta Foundation for Women. The International Service Fund supports the four projects that have been selected for this biennium. And the programs generally provide training, education, health, sanitation, agricultural, and in some cases, microcredit assistance to women, primarily through projects implemented by agencies of the United Nations and other recognized NGOs. The Amelia Earhart Fellowship, many of you already realize, supports the fellowships that are awarded each year to women pursuing advanced studies in aerospace and engineering and space sciences. The Jane M. Klausman Women in Business Scholarship Fund supports scholarships that are awarded to women who are pursuing undergraduate or master's degree in business management. And the Young Women in Public Affairs supports awards given to young women aged 15 to 19 who demonstrate a commitment to leadership in public policy, government, and volunteer organizations. The Rose Fund provides additional funding for programs that are not fully supported. So if one of the international service projects doesn't meet its funding goal, the Rose Fund, which is unrestricted, will be used to help to meet that goal. The endowment fund provides a long-term source of income for the foundation. Earnings are used to provide an income stream. None of the principal is used. So the gift that you make to the endowment fund, you know that that stays to grow for the future, and only the earnings are used. The Amelia Earhart Endowment Fund, similarly, the principal is never used. And this fund provides a long-term source of income to help to supplement the fellowships. And this biennium, $40,000 from the AE Endowment Fund will be used to support the fellowships. This year's fundraising goal for the biennium, throughout the year, is $4,573,000. And the next slide shows the breakdown. Can everybody see the breakdown here? If you can, I can read it for you. So this, later on, I will show you where we are in terms of the funding raised for these goals. And so the four projects, I'm going to tell you about a little bit about the four projects, the international service projects, and give you a little bit of an idea of why we do what we do. You know, we work in our Zonka clubs and help to raise money for the foundation so that it can support these important projects. So the first project,
okay.
Engaging girls on climate change in Madagascar. So many of you are already familiar with the impact that Zonka has had since 2016 in the lives of girls in Madagascar through the Let Us Learn project. Madagascar is one of the poorest countries in the world, and it's prone to natural disasters which further impede economic growth and the agricultural economy. So especially, you know, the flooding and deforestation, that has a big impact. So that makes it more difficult to escape poverty and to prioritize education for children. So this biennium, the goal of engaging girls on climate change in Madagascar is to enable children, particularly girls, to learn in a safe and inclusive environment and empower them to take actions to build climate resilient communities. Next. The most vulnerable populations are still the first victims of climate change in Madagascar. And in this slide, you can see a couple of pictures from 2 weeks after Cyclone Freddy, which caused a lot of damage, and also in a country where 36% of the rural population has access, only 36% has access to improved sources of water, and only 10% of the population uses basic sanitation facilities. Climate disasters like the flooding shown in these pictures make the situation much worse. So environmental education includes teaching children about resilience and about disaster risk reduction, as well as things like how to plant trees and gardens and other nature-based solutions to the environmental risks. Engaging girls on climate change in Madagascar, the targeted beneficiaries for this program are more than 1,000 students, approximately half of them are girls, 750 teachers, and residents of school communities in Balhoa and Ambovobe, I don't know if I've got these pronounced right, districts in the region of Android, which is the drought-prone region of the South. Since most communities lack basic sanitation, they use a three-star approach in this educational and training process to what they call the WASH program in schools. So it helps schools become safe and protective learning environments through taking simple and inexpensive steps to ensure that students wash their hands with soap, have access to drinking water, and have clean and gender-segregated toilets at school. This project will not only provide impact in the immediate and short term, but it will also create robust enabling environments in which successful projects can be replicated at scale and be sustained in the long term, thereby multiplying the impact of women and girls over time. Next slide. To date, there are 5 pilot schools that are working to improve their WASH programs, which also include menstrual health and hygiene, and their climate resilience programs through what they call the three-star approach. The three-star approach takes schools take steps to move up from one star to three stars, which signifies improvements in their programs, in their WASH-related behaviors. At each school, key messages are posted around hand washing after using latrines, around hand washing before eating, sanitary pads are supplied.
Would you mind moving up here just to project a little bit closer? Just, you can use this table right here for your notes. We want to make sure everybody hears you.
Okay. Let's see.
Teachers from the five schools will be included in the training, and they will create disaster risk plans that will enable learning to continue during natural disasters. They will also be trained in the importance of private school showers to enable girls to manage their menstruation with dignity. There are 2,460 students in the five pilot schools that have been have received the WASH education so far. It's part of their life and earth sciences curriculum. WASH materials have been procured and are being distributed this quarter, or starting this quarter. And some of these materials are, you know, include posters and pictures, but I think board games to help them learn, booklets on, you know, sanitary education, that all that kind of stuff. Let's see. Next project. The second project, Adolescent Girls Health and Protection Project in Peru. This is the second biennium for that project. The goal is to improve health services and prevent violence in schools. There are four prioritized districts in which this program is being implemented. As a result of the efforts of this program so far, more than 5,000 adolescents have benefited from comprehensive health assessments. There's been an increase in the number of adolescents screened for risks that may affect their mental health. More than 8,000 students from 20 schools are beneficiaries of health promotion actions, which are being jointly delivered and developed by schools and health facilities. And over 4,000 of these are girls. In the first half of 2023, UNICEF provided technical assistance to the Ministry of Economy and Finance in evaluating the design of state intervention programs for the prevention of teenage pregnancy. Based on its findings, UNICEF has prepared a report for the development of a pilot program for the prevention of recurrent teenage pregnancy, and it will be implemented in two districts. Young mothers in this program will gain support to care for their children in early childhood and promote caregiver and child mental health and well-being. The third project, Her Health and Dignity, Our Priority, in Papua New Guinea and Timor-Leste. This is an also a continuing project from last biennium, and it is, as is, delivering survivor-centered response to gender-based violence survivors in both countries. So building on phase one, phase two will focus on strengthening services for survivors of gender-based violence, and it will expand the skills, knowledge, and capability of GBV providers. These two countries have the highest level of lifetime prevalence of intimate partner violence in Asia and the Pacific region. In Papua New Guinea, 56% of women 15 to 19 years old reported having experienced physical violence with an intimate partner. 28% experienced sexual violence at some time in their lives. 63% of women who have been married have experienced physical, sexual, or emotional abuse from their spouse. In Timor-Leste, 2 out of every 3 women aged 15 to 49 reported experiencing intimate partner violence. So you can see why this project is so important. So through this project, there's been an expanded support to family centers
There's an action plan with health authorities to identify key priorities, and there's been training to build the capacities of health staff on survivor-centered care to GBV survivors. Let's see, projects with the Department of Ministry of Health. So all of these things are helping to reduce violence in those communities. And then the fourth project, I think most of us are really probably more familiar with the fourth project than with some of the others, the Global Program to End Child Marriage. So this was launched during the 2018 to 2020 biennium in honor of Zonta's centennial anniversary. It inspired members around the world to look at child marriage within their own countries. And we've done a lot of that here in, well, here in Canada and in the US. This priority remains on engaging adolescent girls as key agents of change in 12 countries with a high prevalence of child marriages. 300 million of the 650 million girls and women alive today who were married in childhood live in the 12 countries that are targeted by this program. ZI's continued support will advance the program's realization of its vision, in which girls everywhere experience healthier, safer, and more empowered life transitions while they maintain control of their own destiny by making informed choices. These positive changes hold the potential to transform lives of millions of girls and families all around the world and to help them enjoy their childhood and reach a much better future. And there are 20 Zonta clubs in 7 of the 12 countries where this program is being implemented. To end child marriage, girls at risk, families, boys, traditional and religious leaders, and other influencers, along with government and policymakers, must be on the same page. Phase 2 seeks to achieve this. Dialogues with traditional and religious leaders and other community influencers were a key global program approach, with more than 163,000 people engaged in meaningful discussions and consensus building to end child marriage. In the last decade, about 25 million child marriages have been prevented. Next one. Okay. One more. Oh, no.
Changes to education.
Sorry. Yeah, no, we'll skip on to that.
Okay.
So there have been some changes this biennium to our educational programs. As you can see here, there's going to be a total of 60 Amelia Earhart Fellowships awarded, some funded by the Amelia Earhart Fellowship Endowment Fund. Each year, all qualified district awardees of a Women in Business Scholarship or Young Women in Public Affairs Award will automatically win a U.S. dollar, $5,000 international award. And the Women in STEM Scholarship, which was approved for extension as a pilot program at convention, will be awarded in 2023 only, with all qualified district scholars winning the $5,000 award. And then I want to give you some examples of some of the women that have won these awards, and you can hear a little bit about their qualifications. And this is some amazing women who have gotten these awards. So the first one is the 2021 Amelia Earhart Fellow, Elena Lupu. So since the program, well, first of all, since the program's inception of the AE Award, 1,734 AE fellowships have been awarded with a total of 11.6 million US dollars. So that's a big impact to 1,305 women. And these 1,305 women are in 77 countries. So this woman shown here And I'm sorry, it's not a very good picture, but this is Elena Lupu. She's a 2021 AE Fellow. Her research tries to push the boundaries of autonomy and control for spacecraft and aerospace robotics. Currently, space robots rely on ground operations for commanding the spacecraft, and that makes the missions very expensive and limited. So there's a need to increase the autonomy and enable robots to go further without ground operations involved. In this photo, she's at the spacecraft simulator facility at Caltech. And the purpose of the facility is to simulate an environment like the one in space. To celebrate the AE Fellowship's 85th anniversary, and this is Zonta's longest standing program, we're encouraging donations to the Fellowship Endowment Fund and the Fellowship Fund, both from individuals or from clubs. Donors who give specifically for this opportunity will be listed on a special Amelia Earhart 85th anniversary honor roll on the Zonta website.
Oops. This woman, Ngozi Uday, is a 2021 International Jane M. Klossman Women in Business Scholar. This scholarship is awarded it's available for women of any age who are pursuing a business or business-related program and who demonstrate outstanding potential in the field and are living or studying in a Zonta region or district. Since the program's inception, Zonta has awarded 713 scholarships totaling more than $1.8 million to 559 women in 70 different countries. Ms. Uday grew up with a profound sense of community engagement and desire to make a positive social impact. After attending Dartmouth College, where she majored in geography with a focus in international development, she became a tri-sector professional working in local government, the private sector, and collaborating with nonprofits. She's pursuing her MBA at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and also began a program at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, where she took the opportunity to explore policy and development interests. Ultimately, she seeks to be a leader that helps to bring about inclusive economic and social change in emerging markets, especially as it pertains to women's empowerment. The Young Women in Public Affairs Award, the total funding for this biennium is $283,000. This is Tehani Pereira, who is a 2021 Young Women in Public Affairs awardee. And she is from District 25. She's passionate about environmental justice for women and children. When she was 15, she was appointed the president of the Z Club of Colombo, which had more than 65 members, and she initiated 13 different projects in her time as president. One of her favorite projects was a girls' empowerment project that consisted of panelists speaking to a gathering of teenagers. The money raised was donated to the National Institute of Mental Health to provide sanitary napkins for female patients. She is currently studying international relations at Mount Holyoke College in South Hadley, Mass., and I think some of you have met her.
Yes.
She plans to pursue a graduate degree in either public policy, law, or social sciences, and eventually become an advocate for victims of domestic violence and hate crimes, while also working for NGOs and the United Nations. And she happens also to be a supporting member of Zonta International and a member of the Young Talents Working Group. This woman, Elaine Tan, I think some of you know her too, if I'm not mistaken.
3 minutes.
All right, well, then I guess I've only got 3 minutes, so I'm going to have to skip ahead. Let's see. Let's skip ahead to.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is a new, some of you may have heard this, the announcement about this, some of you may not have. Lily Chen, who was a scholar selected by the Scholarship Committee of the Zonta Club of Berkshire County, we were recently notified that she has been awarded the Women in STEM Scholarship by the Zonta Foundation for Women. So Lily lives in Cambridge, Mass. She's a junior at MIT and a member of the MIT Society of Women Engineers Board of Technology. She's an MIT undergraduate mathematics mentor and a math tournament problem czar. Okay. So this next, skip that one. This slide shows the foundation's fundraising progress as of September 30th. So on the far right, you can see we're at 59% of our goal. So the goal is $4,573,000. We've raised $2,718,000. So we have a ways to go. Our district goal for the biennium was $50,000. So far, we have raised $20,323, which is 40.6% of our goal. And then during this conference, we have four initiatives for you to consider. For every $25 donated, you will receive a sticker to place on the papers back there under your club's name. And then for every $50 donated, you'll earn a chance to guess at the value of the rose bouquet, which Marianne has created. The club with the highest donations during this conference will be honored with a match of up to $1,500 by an anonymous donor. And then part of the auction proceeds will go also to the foundation. The next slide just shows a little bit of, you know, an example of what your support could do. So like for a $50 donation, it would support the development of school health and environmental plans, including coaching, mapping environmental hazards, so forth. So that's, you know, just gives you an idea. And then coming up next month, we have every member every November, and you'll find out more about that in the next week or so. And then there's a QR code you can use to donate. And we also have it back there at the table. And one more thing I want to mention, and a couple of additional ways to give: Facebook fundraisers, matching gifts if your employer matches. And then as far as the endowment fund goes, next one, the 1919 Legacy Society, which was established to honor individuals who entrusted their legacy to the foundation through a planned gift. And so Marianne can answer questions about the endowment fund gifts, and we'll both be back over there. And thank you all very much for your support over the years to the Zonta Foundation for Women and all the important work that it does.
Marianne, were you wanting to say a few words before we have you go at the table after?
Yes, I would love to.
My apologies, because we're kind of cutting things a little shorter at the end, but I do not want to short the foundation and the fundraising that really makes the work. Marianne.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Donna, and thank you very much, Donna Clifford, for today's presentation as well. I am willing to speak with anyone about the foundation. I'm also serving as the Zonta Foundation for Women Development Committee Chair, in addition to my role in the district as endowment specialist. I have been a member for over 30 years in Zonta, and it is the international aspect coupled with the ability to enhance our own skill sets and learn from one another that has attracted me to Zonta and kept me involved all these years. The endowment, if you are looking to make a difference in the world and make a difference in the future, two ways to do that is to consider endowment giving, where the donations that you make, we use the actual investment profits from those donations to fund the two endowment funds that Donna mentioned. So the principal is never spent. In addition, if you are considering what your legacy is going to be in the future, when unfortunately all of us cannot live forever, if you want to make an impact and continue to support the women and girls around the world and even in our own district, because you have seen the amazing women that your donations are helping to achieve their goals by donating not only to the endowment, but to our general service and scholarship programs. So please consider making a donation. We currently, in the past few bienniums, typically only 20% of our members donate, which when you think about it, is rather sad and pathetic. And that's not 20% of district, it's 20% of Zonta internationally. And often members say, well, you know, why do you always ask clubs and members to support the foundation? Why don't you go to corporations and outside organizations? And the answer to that, and if you think about this within your own career, is that if only 20% of members are willing to support the foundation, why should a corporation do so? So if everyone here could make a donation, even a $5 donation, whatever it is that you feel is appropriate for you in any given circumstance right now, I encourage you to do that. And Donna and I would love to talk to you more about that in the corner there and also answer any of your questions that you have. And of course, you know, if you're unable to make a donation today, think about donating before the end of the biennium. You have until the close of the fiscal year next year. Do so and you will receive additional information.
And the close of the fiscal year is?
Is, right. You will have up to May 31st to make your donations. Okay. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Sandy, could you put the...